be giving away a four-day pass to Merrifest 2016 to some lucky caller. All you need do to enter the drawing for that four-day pass is email me during the program. I will draw the name of the lucky winner right after the program ends. That email is bronzewound.darwin@weru.org. So please join me, Darwin Davidson, on Thursday, March 3rd from 8 to 10 p.m. for a lot of great bluegrass music and a chance to win a four-day pass to Merrifest 2016. And it'll all be right here on Community Radio, WERU-FM 89.9 Blue Hill, 99.9 Bangor, and streaming online at weru.org. See you Thursday.
Don't swing that girl in the calico.
Support for WERU comes from Village Soup, the Republican Journal, providing the communities of Waldo, Knox, and Hancock counties with news, information, ideas, events, goods, and services on newsstands Thursdays and on the web at waldo.villagesoup.com.
It's just about 10 o'clock. We're 16 degrees outside here at East Orland, looking for a high of 17. Stay tuned now for a special program, Bucksport Heart and Soul.
My name is Matt Murphy. I'm your host today for this special about Bucksport and its Heart and Soul program, which is a program that guides decisions regarding the future of the town, a topic of great interest after the closing of the Verso paper mill. My guest today, Rich Rotella, coordinator of the program and the Community and Economic Development Director in Bucksport. Colleen Gross, a volunteer team member for Heart and Soul and also an occupational therapist in the school district. And John Paul Lalonde, he is a volunteer with the program and very active in the Heart and Soul program. So, welcome all, and why don't we go around so people know what your voice sounds like. Colleen?
Good morning. Thank you for having us here today.
John Paul?
Yeah, Matt. Yeah, real happy to be here, and hope we get a lot of great questions later on.
And Rich?
Thank you very much for having us, Matt.
Okay, so there's our folks. First question. With a little more detail than I gave at the top of the show, what happened in Bucksport and what does it mean to the community?
Well, like you mentioned, Matt, the mill closed. It was October 1st of 2014 where they announced, or yeah, 2014 when they announced the closing of it. And the town could have looked at that as a real real bad thing, but a groundswelling of optimism started in town, and one of those things that came about was Heart and Soul. It had been some interest in the Heart and Soul program before the mill closing, but it really started to increase, I would say, in the winter of last year, and a lot of ground effort, grassroots effort, and finally in October was when the town decided, yeah, we wanted to really become part of this.
Now, Heart and Soul is not unique to Bucksport. The content certainly is and will be unique to Bucksport, but the program itself isn't. Can you talk about where Heart and Soul comes from?
Yeah, the Heart and Soul is... was a program that was started by the Orton Family Foundation, which is out of Vermont. The Orton family is the owner of the Vermont General Store, which some people may be familiar with. And Lyman Orton, who is the current owner of the family store there, and the founder of the Orton Family Foundation, he did a lot of work with community planning in small towns in Vermont, and he decided there had to be a better way of planning than a normal planning process where it's kind of a top-down driven approach where you hear from a vocal minority, but a lot of voices in town you don't hear from. And so he kind of developed this blueprint that they trademarked Community Heart and Soul, and start bringing it to towns throughout the Northeast, and actually out into the Rocky Mountain area too. And so there's been three towns in Maine that have gone through this process, Biddeford, Damariscotta, and Gardner. And, people in Bucksport started to hear about it and said, maybe we want to bring this to Bucksport.
So how did folks hear about it in Bucksport? Is it widely promoted through New England, or is it something that folks in Bucksport just kind of found by being in the know?
I think it was with folks being in the know. A group of people went to a Smart Maine meeting, and Heart and Soul was brought up. And at that point, everyone was interested and wanted to learn more. And another one of our volunteers was actually able to get a lot of the books and spread the word that way.
So it sounds like when the mill closing was announced, and then when the closing actually happened, there were a lot of different ways people were thinking about the future of Bucksport, and this is one of them that came out of it. But it sounds like you folks reached out to other sources of information. It wasn't just, what are we going to do in Bucksport? It's, what have other towns done, and how can we use that here?
Yeah, absolutely. As my role with community and economic development for Bucksport, this process is going to be enlightening. Instead of it being a government approach on what we want, it's going to be grassroots from the citizens brought up what they'd like to see their town. Visions, maybe we're no longer going to go to one single source of taxes and, spread out to multiple sources.
What is the Heart and Soul process? What does it look like? You've decided in Bucksport to use it. What's happened so far and what will happen?
I wondered if I might go back just a little bit as to what the involvement of the Orton Foundation, the Orton Foundation is. Once the town was introduced to this program and they embraced and supported it, then what happened was there is an agreement. It's a two-year agreement that we signed with them, and what they do is help to support us with training and other supports through the process. So we began actually with the first training where a group of people got together and who were sort of familiar with what was going on, and we got our first training. We learned what the process was. And then from there, it grows, and we have more and more volunteers that are coming on board, and we will get subsequent trainings as we go through phases. And if you look at the format of this process, it actually does have four phases, and then it goes on beyond there. But the first phase actually is the laying the foundation, and that's where we are right now. So laying the foundation actually means gathering information, getting organized, and then starting to reach out. It begins in phase two. So we're in the organization phase, which takes a lot of work and a lot of time. And we're excited about what's coming. But we do need more participation.
If listeners are interested in following along through the websites of the Orton Family Foundation and Bucksport Heart and Soul, bucksportheartandsoul.com is the web address for Bucksport Heart and Soul. And the Orton Family Foundation is orton.org/heart-soul. orton.org/heart-soul. And you'll find the graphics for how the process works. So what have you actually done in the first phase here? What kind of particular activities, and how have they manifest themselves? What's come out of them?
We've created what's called a community network analysis. It's a way of finding your formal and informal groups in town. A formal group may be your PTO at your school district, and an informal group may be a bunch of the seniors who meet down at the local McDonald's daily. And the reason why you want this community network analysis is to find the voices. This really truly is an effort to get everyone's voice so that it's heard throughout the process. And in order to get out there and get those stories, you need to know who the contacts may be.
So
I'd like to emphasize, though, that, how this process has evolved. like Colleen said, our first training session was January 9th. So we're roughly, you know, almost 2 months into it now, not quite. And that first training session, I even back up even before that, because how we brought the idea to Bucksport was a couple representatives from Orton came to a meeting where a lot of citizens and government groups were invited in to learn more about it. And from that, eventually after a couple other meetings of introducing people to the idea, the town council approved that Heart and Soul would become a Heart and Soul town, you know, and participate in the program. So then we formed this, we invited people in and we opened it up to people to come in for a training session. We had, I think there were 19 people at that training session. And the reason I wanted to say that is because we had 19 people and now we're up to probably about 50 people who have come to some meeting. And some of them have come to a meeting and are connected just through information. Some of them are very active. So in this couple months, we've organized 9 different sub-teams. We've come up with what we call an elevator speech. So it's something that you can be in the grocery store and someone says, "Oh, what are you up to?" And, "Oh, I'm up to Heart and Soul, and this is what it is." You know, and you can tell them in 2 minutes what the nutshell of Heart and Soul is. We've developed a logo. We have a publication, a publicity and communication team that has developed a website, has a Facebook page out there. Other teams, you know, like a finance team and whatnot. But so all these teams have been meeting once a week, once every 2 weeks. And in this first 2 months, we have 50 people and probably accumulated 650 to 700 volunteer hours already. You don't see a lot that's happened if you're not involved, because we're not ready to roll it out. It's always open to everybody to learn more about and to join us at any time, but we're not out doing the nuts and bolts of what Heart and Soul is all about and getting people's stories so that we can, develop what's really important to the people of Bucksport. So the first stage is a lot of work, but we made a lot of great progress with it.
Thanks, John Paul. The it sounds like you've got a core of people who are really interested. So you're at that phase and organizing, as you've just said. As volunteers, we'll start with you, Colleen. What have you been doing in this phase? What's your role?
I think that the most important thing for me is to help with the momentum that they have begun. I'm talking about the residents of Bucksport, the folks that are truly interested. And so I've been attending meetings from the beginning for the training. I also have joined the subcommittees. I've been working with the communications committee and also what we call the soft launch event committee. And as John Paul was saying, the organization of this is probably the hardest work so far. We're all very excited about the next phase, which is we get out and start talking to people. We start gathering stories and we start gathering the visions and values and hearing from people what matters to you. Why do you live here in Bucksport? What do you love about Bucksport? What would you like to see coming to Bucksport? That's phase two, and we're all chomping at the bit, waiting to get there, but we still have to finish this work in the beginning of being organized enough so that when we do start collecting that data, we're collecting it in an effective and an efficient way and in a way that makes sense and is easily sort of grabbed when we need it for certain things. We have to make sure that our communication plan makes sense, and that we're getting the information to as many people as possible. and in a timely way and also in a very inviting way, because that's what this whole thing is about. It's a resident-driven process. So we want to make sure that people feel welcome and excited and enthusiastic about this process of sharing their stories and creating a collective voice for the town to be able to make suggestions and have their ideas heard about what they'd like to see.
And before we get on to, I'm anxious to get, just like you, I'm chomping at the bit to get to asking you how the stories are collected and all that. But before we get there, I want to ask you, Rich, in your role as coordinator and also as a community and economic development director, what are you doing? What's your job in this process?
Yes, Matt. In the process here, what I'm doing is gathering the initial data, setting up the press releases, talking with a coach. We have a coach named Jane LaFleur. She's with the Friends of Midcoast Maine. I'm in communication with her during each part of the phase to make sure that we're on track, advice on how to move forward, bringing the food to the meetings. We like to keep everybody happy. Food's a wonderful way to do right. that.
We love the food, Rich.
A meeting
we
without food
it.
Is not really a meeting.
That's right. if you were to walk into the office, now currently my office is in the town office in Bucksport, and the walls have all the projects that we've been working on as a team. That community network analysis I told you is a big piece of paper out there that has the sticky notes of all the groups there. And basically that all had to be transcribed into some Google documents. You know, all of our minutes, at meetings we'll take the minutes and then I'll type them up and get them out to the group. Everything we do is open to the public and visible. If you've been on our site or if you go to visit our site now, you'll see lists of the minutes from all the meetings that we've had.
And you're in this stage, as you are chomping at the bit, it sounds like you're almost to the point of getting ready to go out and start collecting stories. How are you going to do that? What's the process for that? Is there one way or are there more than one ways to collect those stories from citizens of Bucksport?
Hey, can I just back up 1 second? I don't want to get into that, but I think this is important to the people listening out there. One of the things that I'm really excited about this process and this group we're working with, and a group that has come together, and we know more people are going to come together. Every meeting we've had a minimum of 2 new faces at the meeting. Doesn't mean that there's always that many more because some people don't make all the meetings, but there's 2 new people who have heard about it and say, geez, I want to be part of this. But the other thing is that in most other groups I've worked with, you kind of surround yourself by people who have a common interest. And the common interest here is making Bucksport even a better place to live than what it already is. And so the people who are active in this come from all different walks of life in Bucksport. We see that every time a new person shows up, and so that that's really exciting to me. And the other thing that's exciting is we have a lot of varied skills. I mentioned we put a website together. Well, we have people who had those skills and put the website together. We haven't gone out and hired anything, at this point. People who have finance skills are putting the budget together. People who have skills with working with the media are on the publication team or the publicity team. But we're always looking for where do we have gaps in skills. And so, for instance, we're going to be moving into, which is great news for the program, Rosen's Department Store. Richard and Kim Rosen have donated their building space to be the Heart and Soul headquarters. And we're going to go in there and we're going to want to spruce it up, make it, like a great, not only great office space, but a great place for people to come in, share their stories and whatnot. So, people have skills out there that say, geez, I'm pretty good with a hammer, and I can make good office space or good, meeting room space. We'd love to have you, but so there's all kinds of skills in this process that everybody's welcome.
There's another skill that I was thinking about this morning that we really could use, and that's people who just love to collect and organize data, because I have a feeling that we're going to have an abundance of data that we need to get pulled together. Any kind of support or ideas, if you're a computer person, love Excel, love to play with numbers and all of that, I think, that's a big skill not everybody has or enjoys. So we're always looking for people who have these extra skills that can come. And, of course, the way for you to reach us, we'd love to have you come to the meetings. We have one scheduled for next Wednesday. That's going to be March 9th, and it's being held at the Bucksport High School Library. And it's held from 6 to 8, and everybody is welcome. You don't need to sign up in advance. You just need to show up. And you don't even need to get involved that evening. We'd love to have you sit and listen and learn about the program and feel the excitement in the air, because that's what it is. When we leave a meeting, we're all feeling empowered and excited about the future, and that's contagious, and we want people to, join in.
People who can join in, and speaking of joining in, at about in about 10 minutes, we will be opening the phones, and anyone listening who would like to join in with a question or comment, we will the phones will be open for you. So back to joining in,
yes,
with in the way that you just mentioned, Colleen. People who reside in or have a business in Bucksport are certainly part of this process. How about people who live in a surrounding town who Bucksport is the place where they go to shop, they go to the movies, they go to whatever, that's their central town?
I'd like to speak to that.
Yes,
if I could.
Colleen,
okay.
Yes.
I mentioned that I do work for the school department here in Bucksport, but I actually live on Verona Island. And my husband and I have a very small business on Verona. So we're very excited about Bucksport and the possibilities of what can happen here and what will be happening here in Bucksport, because when Bucksport prospers, we will do well. And so, of course, that's what got us actually involved in this program. And we've had nothing but open arms from folks in this process to accept the help and to hear what we have to say. And I think that goes for other surrounding towns. People do come to Bucksport for, various things. We've got the bookstore. We have Dairyport. Everybody comes to Bucksport for an ice cream. And we've got the florist. And we have the greatest walking trails here, which that's something I'm not sure that everybody is aware of. Up behind the schools, we have the Miles Lane walking trails. So families do come to Bucksport for various things. Kids for school, absolutely. And the movies and the McLeod's restaurant and the Harbor View and all kinds of wonderful things that you find when you walk on the waterfront. And so, yes, people who live around Bucksport absolutely are interested, and they care about what happens to Bucksport, and we want to hear from everyone.
All right. Well, I'm sure there's some people out there listening who are glad to hear that and will probably, and like you, have already become involved. So now, the chomping at the bit part. You're getting close to being ready. Heart and Soul is getting close to being ready to start collecting stories, and I'm ready to ask the question on how it works. Are people approached? Well, first, the people doing the gathering, are they the people who are receiving the training? So they're gatherers, facilitators, collectors. Is that how that works?
Yes, and initially, although anybody who discovers heart and soul and really wants to be part of that process is more than welcome to come to our training or be trained later on. You know, because once we get through that training, we'll always have new people want to be part of the program. And so the people who are trained will, you know, in some respects be trained to be trainers too.
Mm-hmm.
But so that process, you know, without having gone through the training, most of our knowledge of how that process works is by just what a lot of people out there listening today will do. They'll look on the website and they'll see what other towns have done. Or, you know, we have some coaching, you know, and because, you know, with Jane on that, but, you know, the real training will come later. But it's really through a lot of methods that we will determine what's the best way. We may have a big event where, you know, we have a potluck supper, let's say, and we invite people in, and around each table we collect stories. It might be that we set a booth up at Rosen's once we move in there, and people come in and share their stories. We might go out to the Rod and Gun Club at one of their meetings and collect stories at a function like that, one of these formal and informal meeting groups. The real key to all of those story gatherings is to get it from all the demographics in town. So, you know, we'll be tracking where the story's coming from and making sure we're hitting as many people as we can, but more importantly, all the different demographic sectors of the community.
So you'll be gathering from individuals and particular groups in town so that you're kind of leaving no place that no place will not get any attention. You're going to try to get everybody. Have any of those do you have any of those groups or individuals saying, hey, I'm ready, come on and hear the stories, or is it kind of quiet? I guess the question is there a buzz in town about Heart and Soul, so you already have people thinking, well, I hope they're going to come to me, or when, you know, letting you know that they'd love to tell you some stories, because I'm sure there's some storytellers in town.
I think what's happening is because we're still in the organization stage, it's fairly quiet beyond the folks who are kind of working right now. We're trying to create a buzz. This is what I can tell you. If you are out and about town and you come across an individual who actually is wearing a little button that says, ask me about Heart and Soul, that's an opportunity for you to say, what is this thing? And you're going to find us wearing those buttons everywhere. We also will be going to some events, anywhere where people are gathering. We've started doing this. We'll wear our buttons, and if you see us, we want you to talk to us. So I just wanted to go back on the community network analysis mm-hmm. piece, and this is actually how we're going to reach all those corners. So we started off by saying, okay, where do people meet? What groups and what demographics, and who do we need to reach? So once we came up with 100 and, help me out, guys,
120.
120 groups, formal and informal. And we're saying, okay, does anybody have a connection with any of these groups? And if you have a connection, would you be willing to go speak to the folks and tell them about it? Because this whole process is about building relationships and building trust, and we want people to realize that we want to hear your stories. We want you to feel included in all of this. And so if any one of us volunteers are not familiar with a particular group, then we're going to ask for volunteers to come forward and say, you know, I really do back up this program, and I think that I can get the message across to that group in an effective way. And that's when they become sort of enlightened as to the process a little bit, and then off they go. They're the collecting the stories. So does that kind of explain a little
in answer to your question about is there a buzz, there's a buzz with people who want to be part of the program, part of the process, part, you know, they want to volunteer at some level or another. You know, we have kind of this saying when we ask someone, you know, do you have a minute? Do you have an hour? Do you have a day? You know, all the way up, do you have 2 years? And, you know, some people will say, yeah, you know, I've got a day. I'll come to a meeting, and then they get the buzz. But we have people coming to us asking us about the thing and how they can be part of it. Not so much people saying, where do I tell the stories yet? Because we're not really out talking about stories yet that much. The people who are more talking about stories are within the volunteer groups, you know. When can we get to the stories?
Okay. We're going to take a little break right now to let folks know that they're listening to a special here on Community Radio, WERU, and this is all about Bucksport and its Heart and Soul program, which is intended to guide decisions regarding the future of the town. And this is certainly a topic of great interest with the Verso paper mill closing recently, and what's going to happen in the future, and who's going to decide, and how are they going to decide, and what are they going to decide about. My name is Matt Murphy. I'm your host. My guest in the studio, Rich Rotella. He is the coordinator of Heart and Soul, and he's also the Community and Economic Development Director in Bucksport. Colleen Gross, she is a volunteer team member. And John Paul Lalonde, he is also a volunteer. And these are, I'm going to assume, two volunteers who do quite a bit of work, and that's why you're here on the program.
Everybody does a lot of work.
Okay, good answer. Like to open the phone lines now if anyone wants to call in with a comment or a question. 866-625-9378. 866-625-9378 if you want to participate in the discussion. And we hope you do. So let's say I'm in a group. I'm in the pick a group, the Skateboard Club, Parents of Skateboarders here in Bucksport. What will happen when you decide that you'd like to talk to the Skateboard Parents Club?
Well, that's interesting. That first you started off with the Skateboard Club, and then you
I'm
said,
a little old for that, but then you either said, you can pick. You maybe you can go to both.
No, I really like this because I wanted to sort of expand on that a little bit. You mentioned the Skateboard Club, and then you said the parents of the Skateboard Club. And we would actually look at that as two different demographics and mm-hmm. two different groups. And so we would approach the skateboarders, and then we also would approach the parents of the skateboarders. And so that's how inclusive we want to make this whole storytelling process.
And would you kind of identify, or people around town know, who's kind of a leader of the of the Skateboard Club, or someone who's vocal and known? Oh yeah, he or she, they're in the Skateboard Club. They're kind of our doorway person to get to the rest of the crew.
That's the plan, you know. And with our growing volunteer base, and the diversity of our volunteer base, we're finding that, you know, a lot of these groups we do have connections with. You know, either someone knows someone in these groups, or maybe actually be part of the group. But there's always gaps, in you know, we're discovering ways to how we tap into those groups where we really don't have a connection or not sure who. You know, it's a small enough town that we can get that pretty easy.
How many people live in Bucksport? There's, of course, the surrounding area, but how many people live in Bucksport proper?
4,926.
Uh-huh. 4,126.
Right?
926.
926. Yeah.
That's why you're the economic development director. I want to let folks know that there's an easier number to remember and write down that I forgot to give you a little earlier, and it's 469-0500. 469-0500, and you don't have to live in Bucksport to be part of this conversation. Want to make that clear, too. Just like if you're in the surrounding areas of Bucksport, you can participate in Heart and Soul. And again, 469-0500. And we've got our first caller, David from Brooklyn. Good morning, David.
Hi, thanks for the show. I don't want to get too much of a reputation for being a caller, but it's really nice to be able to do that. I've tried to call some of the other stations and calling shows, and it doesn't work very well. Just FYI. So, and congratulations to the station for making this
Well, thanks, David.
That's possible. I'm really, it's a very interesting show. I'm a little puzzled by where it's all going, but I think that's because where it's all going sort of in a broad sense is pretty puzzling in general. And we sort of have to develop some whole new ways of looking at even the notion of going somewhere, you know, like maybe it's all a circle anyway, maybe it's not a line between two points and goals and all this kind of stuff, you know. But I like the idea of telling our stories, and I'm resisting the notion that the most that's going to come of this is like a collection of tales from Bucksport, similar to a collection of cookbook recipes from Bucksport or something like that. I'm thinking that where it could lead, and I'd certainly like for this to be expanded upon if relevant by people that you have sitting there doing this good work, is toward like a whole new birth of the entity of a town, which, you know, of course, in the long run will include economic viability, the big, you know, like gold purse at the end of the stick. But the way to get there, I'm beginning to see through listening and trying to figure out what's going on here, is through becoming aware of who we are and being able to talk to each other. Like, sharing our stories is so basic, and it's this thing that we don't get nearly enough time to do at all.
A quick observation. You said a circle. If folks go to bucksportheartandsoul.com, you'll see that there the process is visually explained with a circle. So, John Paul.
Yes. I'll quote Lyman Orton. First, I'll back up a second. And what do we do with these stories? We listen to the stories, and we don't just record them and then show them and put them in a cookbook. We actually quantify key interests that these stories say. So let's say repeatedly we hear stories about what's been important to these people's lives is the environment in Bucksport or a store that used to be on Main Street or the schools. And so you start to quantify these things that are the key points of their story. And that's where, you know, when Colleen was talking about people who can analyze data, you put that into data spreadsheets and then you are able to sort on it and say, oh, this is a thing that comes to the top. This is what is really important to the people of Bucksport. And so that'll lead me into Lyman's quote and says, when a community takes the time to get to know itself, it gains a sense of identity and purpose that informs decisions about its future. So that's really what, you know, the heart and soul process is, to really get at what's important to the people of Bucksport and then shape our future with, you know, in decisions for the future with what is important to the people.
Well, that's great. That's really exciting. I'm glad that's happening.
Well, David, thanks very much.
Next time, I have to admit, I live a ways away in Bucksport. There's usually a place I pass through on the way to somewhere else, which is...
Come see a movie.
I'm beginning to make a habit of stopping at a few places I like. And, you know, something of the like, what do we call it in agriculture? We call it it's a French word, terroir, T-E-R-O-I-R, which is the nature of the place, which some people feel is even reflected in the taste of a particular vegetable or tea or wine or what have you.
Well, David, thanks very much for the call. You brought up some really good stuff, and gave a good cue for John Paul to do a little explaining on how things working. Rich, I want to get to you as the coordinator of the program and the community and economic development director. What kind of folks are you hoping to talk to? Who are the major stakeholders, not necessarily by name, but the kind of people who are the major stakeholders economically who need to be talked to? What kind of people?
In the realm of the heart and soul process?
Yes.
Yeah. All the citizens really need to, Matt, because if you think of it this way, if we go back on one of John Paul's example, environment. You know, if there's a group of people who are, you know, really concerned about the environment and what may be next for Bucksport future, we may not want to take the economic development side and start looking at things that aren't good for the environment. You know, this is really, even though my position is in the town government, it's really led from the ground up. I'm a citizen of Bucksport. I live right by the Little League ball field, and there were people involved who really do care about the town, and it's those voices right there, the people who live, work, breathe, want to see the future of Bucksport continue for years to come. It's all those voices there that are going to matter to economic development. It's not one voice. It's not just one voice.
Okay, thank you. We have another caller, Susan in Millinocket. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. I wanted to thank you for having this show, and I am really having a hard time to zero my questions down to just a couple because I am in awe of what Bucksport has done, and I would certainly love to learn from them. You know, the situation in the state with so many of the mills closing one after the other, you know, a lot of us are in the same boat. And it just seems that Bucksport has managed to pretty much hit the ground running. And so that would be one of my questions. How do you attribute your progress that's been so quick, it seems? And how long have you been working at this? Do you find many citizens wanting to get involved? And I guess the biggest one is that you seem to welcome change as a community. And to what do you attribute that? Because it seems like human nature, a lot of times people want to resist change. So those are basically my questions.
Well, Susan, thanks very much. Good questions. Anybody want to field any of those? How progress is made? And a really interesting one, why is Bucksport welcoming change? Because change can be difficult for folks.
I think, and thank you very much for the call. I think one of the big things to realize is that Verso owned the paper mill. AIM is a business.
And describe, what for those who don't know, what AIM is.
AIM is the American Iron Metal who purchased the Verso paper mill. Okay, so the way that AIM is a business, and their business, instead of constructing buildings and getting people in, theirs is in the scrap metal business. And they're a business like all the other businesses we have in town. And what we figured out is they're going to do what they want down on their end, and we, as the people of the town, can look forward to what do we want to see here, you know, all over town. You know, we have a few restaurants. Maybe it's we want more restaurants. We have a wonderful walkway. Maybe we want to keep the walkway the way it is. We have a beautiful arboretum located out on the Silver Lake Trails behind the town garage. And, you know, those are ideas that people had. I think the real key to the success here was, you know, and it did take a little bit of time, but I think the real key was it's happened, it's going, what can we do for the future? Because the more you dwell on the past, the longer it takes for you to move forward to the future. And a group of citizens all got together. We celebrate. We come together. We circle around the things that matter the most, which is the community. Bucksport is a very strong community. I moved here in 2003 from Belfast, another town that had to redefine itself after the chicken industry. And the way we're able to do this is, what is around us? What do we have? And the common thread was, we looked at our surroundings and we looked at our people, the most important pieces of any community.
So, and those folks embrace change because you came to realize that that was your choice, either to stagnate or to change and grow. Is that an accurate guess on my part?
Absolutely. And I think what excited us, my husband and I, about getting involved is the optimism and the positive thinking. And when you look at the opportunities that are in front of us rather than the things that have happened in a negative way, keep positive, and from positivity comes growth. And I wanted to thank you for the compliment of how we all came together. I have to say that I'm fairly new to the area. I moved here to Verona Island about 5 years ago, and just becoming a part of this process, I have met more people than I ever would have imagined I could. I've become involved with the community. When we were doing the community network analysis, learning about groups of people that are out there that I had no idea even existed. And so you're able to really tighten up the community, make connections with people. And I think that when you have all of that positiveness going on around you, again, it just grows and blossoms, and it kind of morphs that way on its own. Yes, there's been a lot of work that's happened here and still needs to happen, but it really amazes me how the community is coming together. And it's just supporting the whole process, because this process, it really does give us that opportunity to plan for our future. And it is Bucksport's future, because if we don't figure out what we of this area or the citizens of Bucksport, what we want our town to look like, then those decisions might be made by somebody else. So,
right.
So we do want to be part of it.
Susan, does that get at what you were looking for?
Yes, it does. And mostly what I take from it is community and connecting.
Yeah.
Well, yep. Thanks very much for the call, Susan.
Thank you.
So you have trained up some people. There's subcommittees. There have been identified some of the community leaders of groups, the skateboard young people, the parents of the skateboarders. I mean, I don't know, so let's say those exist.
The Garden Club.
The Garden Club. All those different groups. The Rod and Reel Club, and all those groups. What happens next after you've identified who they are? What happens next?
Well, it'll probably be in a two-phase process. First thing we'll do is just go out and share information with them. Not necessarily there to collect stories, but it's sort of that soft launch that Colleen was speaking of, where we, build more enthusiasm about the Heart and Soul without, building so much and then they say, well, let's go. But you just continue to build enthusiasm, and we'll do that through visits to group meetings, visiting with key people in those organizations, so that we get the story out there of what Heart and Soul is all about. But then we get down to the nuts and bolts of collecting stories, and there'll be stories that are long stories, will purposely go to get longer stories, and there'll be short stories, and there'll be maybe not necessarily surveys, but key interest type things that we have that is sort of more of a polling type thing than a storytelling. But so we will actually go out to groups. We may not hit all 120 groups, but, you know, we will hit as many as we can. And you know, again, I go back to the real key of all that is to make sure we're hitting all the demographics out there and all the sectors. We'll find that we're not hitting certain areas of town, and we'll have neighborhood block parties where we spread our word. And so these people who will be trained in storytelling and data gathering and getting the key information will be going out, you know, throughout the summer and fall to gather that information.
So then once we've gathered this information, what we're truly working for is a shared vision. And once we have that shared vision, and we've come up with that statement or that philosophy, that's when you start to take action. But that's down the road. We have 2 years to work on this. But just to give you an idea, here's a very quick scenario. If there's a group of folks that are concerned about, I watched a video actually on the Orton Foundation, young folks. They went out and they canvassed the city. They looked at the sidewalks. They looked at the accessibility around. Once they gathered their data, then they as a group went to the town council. They shared their concerns. They shared what their thoughts were and what their vision was for what was down the line. And then their story and their vision was heard. So that's more or less how the process will go. Once we've collected the shared vision for the community, then you're able to take action together to make sure that the vision is made real.
Right. And before we can even get to those stories, we're actually going to be trained. Our training for that's going to be on April 30th. Our trainings last from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m.
on how to collect stories.
And that will be the next training we have, yes, on how to collect the stories, what to do with the data.
Great. We have another call. From Bucksport. Chris from Bucksport.
Hello, and thanks for taking my call. Thanks for WERU for providing this great service to the citizens of the area. And I want to thank the three panelists because they're doing an excellent job. I also wanted to suggest that perhaps Susan from Millinocket could call the station and leave some contact information, and we could help get her directed to a few folks that might get them going up there. I'm talking from folks in Millinocket every day, just about lately, for this very reason. But I just wanted to say, terrific job, and I think it's important also that there are a lot that folks understand that there's more to this process. Those benefits that Colleen talked about, some of those side benefits, we've called them hidden gems in the past, things that developed out of this community building that's just terrific for towns, that it doesn't stop at the end of this program. This carries through, hopefully, with this community building, these hidden gems can blossom into something that heart and soul never even comprehended could be. So I just want to also emphasize that. One question is what's been the most difficult part of this process for you folks?
Great question.
Thank you.
For me, it's learning to slow down. At the very beginning, I was like, let's go get those stories. The problem is when you move too fast, you miss something. You really have to be cognizant of how are you going to best accumulate the stories and hear everyone's voice. And by moving too fast, you may skip something. You may have to go back and repeat yourself, finding yourself doing something over twice just because you didn't take the time that first time. For me, it's learning to slow down, and I've done that. I'm not antsing at the bit to get these stories anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I can't wait to get there, but I'm not antsing at the bit anymore.
Okay. John Paul, how about you, the biggest challenge?
I think the biggest challenge is listening skills. And I know that'll come into play more when we're actually, getting stories, but just listening to the other volunteers and what's important to them in the process, and instead of trying to jump in and decide, analyze myself what I think is important to them, but sitting back and listening to them to what's important to them, about the process more than more than their stories at this point. But if I don't get that down, then I won't do a good job listening to stories.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Colleen?
I think I agree with Rich. For me, it's learning to curb the enthusiasm because we are very excited about this. But I also realize that without structure and without organization and without laying that groundwork, it could become very complicated and messy, and we don't want to miss things. We want to go about this in the right manner. So for me, it's trying to hold back, make sure we feel organized, and then we roll out.
You're all doing great work, and so is WERU. This is an exciting time to be in Bucksport and the whole Lower Penobscot Valley area, and it's going to get even better. So I really thank you all for being there too.
Well, thank you for the call, Chris.
You're welcome, Chris.
We're getting near the end of the show, so I want to a quick question that I have, and then let you all have your last words on for the program. What are the technically? How are these stories going to be collected? You know, you're going to record people's voices in both groups and individually. Are you also going to collect stories then those have to be transcribed, right? Which is a lot of work. And are you also collecting stories in written form from folks if they want to write a little essay about their thoughts?
Yeah, that question came up. You know, there was one person on our team who said, we need to get journals, because you know, mm-hmm. and so we can collect stories that way that give people the opportunity to write it down. Because they said, I'm someone who's pretty shy. I may not want
right.
to speak into a mic, that was a good point, and I think there will be an opportunity for that. You know, I can't really answer that at this point exactly how we're going to do all this because.
We haven't had our training yet. Yeah.
No one's collected your stories.
It kind of evolves, you know, I think, to
okay.
some extent.
Well, we've got just a couple of minutes, so I want to go around the room and give you a few seconds for your last words and thank you. Colleen Gross, a volunteer in Heart and Soul, the microphone's yours for a little bit here,
oh.
a quick little bit.
Thank you very much. I think the thing that I want to emphasize the most here is that this is a community process. And the more people that we can get involved, the more unified our voice will be when it comes time for making decisions in the town of Bucksport. And so it's about community.
Okay. Thank you. Jean-Paul Lalonde, a
yep.
volunteer with the program.
One thing I want to emphasize is remember it's March 9th is our next meeting, and you're welcome to come at the high school at 6 o'clock. But I agree with Colleen. It's the community, grassroots effort that this is, and that everybody's voice is important.
Okay, thank you. And Rich Rotella, you Community Economic Development Director in Bucksport, your last words.
Well, these guys have said it right. It's all about community. The former title of my position was Economic Development Director. And what we realized is we are a community. So, you know, come on out. We'll feed you. We'll take your input. We'll gladly accept your help, taking the stories, helping out decorating the Rosen's building when we move there. By the way, the approximate date is April 1st. So looking very excited. And if anyone who's called in today should have any further questions, please feel free to reach me at the town office at 469-7368.
Okay, and the website again where folks can go to find out more information, bucksportheartandsoul.com. Well, we've come to the end of the program. My name is Matt Murphy. I've been your host. John Greenman has been our engineer. Thanks to him. Thanks to our guests, and thanks to our callers as well. And you can go to Bucksport Heart and Soul on Facebook as well. Don't forget to like them. So thanks very much to everyone for listening and for supporting WERU. We really appreciate it. And stay tuned. On the Wing is coming up.
You're listening to WERU 89.9 FM in Blue Hill and 99.9 in Bangor, streaming live around the world at weru.org. Quick look at the weather, 12 degrees outside the East Orland. Actually, it's 20 degrees outside the East Orland studios right now. We're looking for a high, and they're wrong, we've already surpassed it, of 19. So tomorrow's going to be partly sunny. Saturday's going to be mostly sunny. Sunday's going to be mostly sunny, high of 34. Stay tuned for On the Wing.
Hello, this is CJ Walk, your host for Common Ground Radio, which airs on the first Friday of each month at 10 a.m. here on WERU, your community radio station. Common Ground, brought to you by the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association, is an hour-long show devoted to the discussion of organic farming practices and agricultural policy issues that affect us here in Maine and beyond. We talk with certified organic farmers, local food producers, and healthy food advocates about the joys and challenges of striving to attain a more sustainable food system for all. So tune in to Common Ground Radio, the first Friday of the month at 10 a.m. right here on WERU-FM, 89.9 in Blue Hill and 99.9 in Bangor.
Support for WERU comes from our listeners and from Waterville Creates, a collaborative consortium of community arts, creative, and cultural institutions established to enhance and strengthen the vitality of Waterville on Facebook or watervillecreates.org.